Crumb. Greetings, mortals. You are listening to Bourbon and Barbarians, an actual play recording presented by the Cromcast.
Everybody's got that one friend, and if you don't know who that friend is, it's probably you.
Right.
Okay, so you guys approach Hank's hovel. I like the fact that there's a lot of hovels in the Borderlands.
It's very alliterative, too.
Half-faced
Hank's
the hovel. Hank's hovel. It's all in neon. It's just arrow pointing. So you guys are rustling up your mage of the party. Hank, do you go willingly? Do you ally yourself with this trio of adventurers?
I mean,
hey weirdo, yeah. Did you get a letter?
I did.
Yeah.
Brando.
I can't separate that now. Like, yeah.
Rondo will be Marlon Brando.
It would make Marlon you laugh very can't refuse.
I'm thinking like Streetcar Named Desire, like Brando, like white muscle shirt,
right?
Arena. Okay, so
yeah, I mean, if they ask him, he'll go willingly. He's like he's doing it for them, not for the town.
Okay,
that's fair.
Friends.
Together again.
Can grow to hug Hank?
Sure. He's going to stand there and like give you a single pat on the back.
You got to be careful.
Because he's tiny?
He's tiny and you're big.
I am big.
You can squeeze real hard.
It's a good hug.
It is. Like full frontal. Like, yep.
Both forearms.
Yeah.
Full frontal? I've never heard a hug described as such.
Full frontal.
We're on the side, right? Like
you get side. Oh, no, yeah. Our chests are touching.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, his chest is like touching my belly.
Yeah, I like that. I love the picture of what your character looks like. The fact that Grota is like this big, like, barrel-bellied, like, froggy, like, wrestler.
Yeah. He's not a handsome man.
But it's very charismatic.
But he leans into it.
I think of Hillbilly Jim.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got that kind of stature.
Yep. And the mullet.
All right, so the gang's back together. You guys receive this weird message in the mail. Whatever passes for the post. Yeah, mm-hmm. you got it.
Grotogram.
You got a grotogram. And you go these days? Like, what do you do now? It's like morning time. You guys have kind of rallied the troops, and it's like time for second breakfasts.
I think we should just go straight there. Okay. I mean, there's real, and that's my vote anyway.
Okay.
But he said breakfast.
We can eat breakfast there.
Okay.
I've brought a turnip.
Yes.
And I give it to Grota.
I eat it in one bite.
Like, it's like Dwight Schrute, like biting into a beet, like
turnip connoisseur.
Put it in.
And just okay. Wiping your hands.
So
on the
you guys are all on the main road. Nobody's like packed up an adventure bag or anything just yet. You're together. You receive this weird letter, this call to adventure, if you will,
mm-hmm.
in a Kimbellian sense. You're striking back south on the main road. You're going towards the Burgermaster's house. And so in the case of Grota, you know exactly where this is. This is like your second job.
This is work, yeah.
It is your second job. You're like spending your time between like are you working at the mercantile? Is that right?
I guard the mercantile when people are getting agitated.
He's the bouncer.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the bouncer.
He's the bizarre bouncer.
Yeah, so Bildrath, I think we threw his name around in the last like sort of prologue campaign that we did. Like, he's the mercantile boss, but he basically is the guy that works for the Burgermaster.
Yeah.
So imagine the guy that runs the inn or runs the hotel in Deadwood. I can't remember his name.
Swearingen.
No, the guy that works for Swearingen. Oh. Just a real like
Farnham?
Farnham, yeah. So he's the Farnham of the town. Basically, you have this mercantile guy who's the what's the right word? Not patsy. But he just works. He works for the Burger
He's
Master.
A toady.
Yeah, that's toady. That's exactly the word.
Toady.
It's very ominous. Strahd swoops in.
Oh, God.
Saber die.
No. Grow to do a vocabulary word in the world ended.
Oh, yes. He's a toady.
He's a toady. No. Bildrath is the Burgermaster's toady. The Burgermaster is like basically he's the money in the town. He's the only old money in the town. He's the mayor. He's the dude that lives in the only like house on the block that actually has like a fence. And so that's where you're going. You're going south back down the road towards that. So you guys are just striking around. It's middle of the day. That thing's, you know, people are up and about doing their thing. It's a short jaunt. Like, basically, you pass by three or four houses to your left or to your right. You pass by the common tavern and public house, and then you're there at Arena / the Burgermaster's house. What do you guys do?
Does everything look okay?
It's pretty spooky. The iron gates are all twisted and torn. The right gate lies cast aside, and the left one swings crazily in the wind that's recently picked up. So,
you need to remember.
All right, that's bad.
I can fix this. This is not that bad.
That's a bad sign, you guys. This is a bad sign. I'm telling you, this is a bad sign.
It didn't look like this when I was here yesterday.
Correct.
I'm gonna ask Grota, like, is this? Did it look like this? I haven't been here for quite a while.
No, it's usually pretty nice.
Ule, go ahead and roll 3d6.
14.
Is it under your wisdom?
Yes.
Okay. You know that your boy Grota, while he's got a good heart and all, he's not necessarily the most attentive groundskeeper.
Oh, no.
So it stands to reason that a gate could be off its hinges and not tended to.
When's the last time you were here, Grota?
Yesterday.
I go over to the fence, the gate, and just kind of make a little adjustment on it to put it more solidly onto its hinges.
Fixes it. It's not spooky anymore. It's just totally natural. You just break out the 3-in-1 oil.
Perfect.
How did you do that?
Magic.
No.
Oh.
Still a bad sign.
Yeah. It was still a little bit. Sign. It was a little bit ominous. It was almost an old.
I mean,
man
we all
saying,
got.
Doom,
we
doom.
All. We all got letters, blood-stained letters. So it's, you know, it's like that's not normal.
It's true. So. It's true. It is true. Yep. I did not bring my adventuring gear.
I did not either. I thought we would go see the Burgermaster, and then we would find out what the deal is after that. And then we would be able to split up and go get our gear.
There was blood on those letters.
There was, so we probably should have grabbed stuff.
We probably should have.
But we didn't.
Nope, and we're here.
Grota always carries his great club.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true. Part of his night watchman job.
That's good.
All right.
I've got a little magic. You can see us through.
Okay.
Yeah. Hank's just ready to go with the magic, so...
And he's ugly.
He can strike out at any time.
Let's go to the door.
Who knocks?
Grota goes first.
Okay, Grota. So let's do a little bit of RP. What happens?
I walk up and I knock on the door.
Who is it?
It's Grota.
Oh, she's like, oh, quickly. Like, she recognizes your voice because you were just here yesterday, right?
Right.
Like, taking care of business, mowing the yard, that kind of stuff. Opens the door. Ushers you guys in super quick. So the interior of the house is, it's very well furnished. Like, this is the only person that's been in here is Grota, right? Like, nobody else is
I've
stepped
never
into
been,
the mayor's
no,
house.
Never been here.
You know, mayor had some bank, right? Like, it's kind of weird that you guys live in the borderlands. You live in Coldfield, you know, everybody is hard scrabble existence, and you're seeing basically considerable wealth like all around you, right? Like some various like fur rugs on the ground, like up against the hearth, that kind of stuff.
Orgasmic excess.
It's not quite that bad. It's not like it's not crazy that there's like columns and like gold plating and finery. It's just like there's blankets and and there's like books on the shelves, and there's like an actual like wooden table, you know, that's like got place settings and a napkin holder. Like,
do you want to sit on my favorite couch, Brando?
I don't know what a couch is. Sure.
It's squishy.
Okay.
It's better than the logs of church.
Who is this that let us in?
It's Arena.
It is Arena.
Yeah, yeah. And she you quickly get the feel that had your boy Grota not been knocking on the door, like she is like,
does she recognize any of us?
Oh, she knows you guys, but she's side-eyeing you guys. Grota is the only one that gets a kind eye.
Okay.
And she's like just talking to Grota.
I pull out the rolled up piece of parchment that the missive was written on, and I say, we're here on some apparent business from your father, and I show her the letter.
She takes it, she looks at it, and she just like busts into sobbing, and she runs into a side room, like off of the main like entranceway.
Keep it together,
seen,
Hank.
I've never seen this happen.
I've never seen someone cry.
Steps towards her and then stops himself like, oh, no. Yeah. She won't want me.
I'm going to go knock on the door and ask if she's okay.
The door's open. She's like ran into a room.
Okay. I'm going to go ask if she's okay.
Okay. So you step into this room. It's a bedroom. You get that sense. It's shrouded in darkness, and she's basically like laying up against a bed just like sobbing relentlessly.
Arena, are you okay? We didn't mean to upset you.
She's just crying. She says, it can't be.
Grota's going to give a hug.
Okay, so you step up to her and you like...
I pat her back.
Yeah, you try to pat her back. Yeah. So you're basically walking into this dark bedroom where she's like laying at the side of the bed.
Yep.
And you're petting her.
That's what Grota's doing.
You're like patting her on the back. Yeah, it's like...
Nice. Good, Arena. Nice, Arena. I want to detect evil.
Okay, well, we're gonna finish this first.
Okay. Oh boy.
so you're trying to placate her, and it's at that point that you see that her father is like laying there on the bed, like right in front of you. Go ahead and roll 3d6.
Oh no,
Grota.
I don't need to detect evil anymore. Never mind.
11.
Is that under your intelligence?
No.
her dad's just laying there in the bed asleep. Apparently,
this is weird.
Yeah. She's like crying, or her dad's asleep. What's up?
Can I poke him in the belly?
Yeah, you poke him. You poke a little bit hard.
Sure, Grota does.
He's a little bit stiff. There's not a whole lot of give there. You might need to poke him harder.
Oh, Uleg, man. Grota, what is going on?
Uleg, he won't wake up.
Uleg goes into the room.
Yeah. So at this point, Uleg enters the room. What are you doing, Brondo?
I'm standing next to Hank, and I'm watching Uleg go in, and I turn to Hank and be like, do we need to go too?
Should we? Are we allowed?
I don't have any gear, but I mean, I guess this is what's happening.
We should go in.
Okay.
Maybe Arena could use some consoling.
Okay, watch yourself.
So you guys are all entering into the Burgermaster's bedroom. Arena's kneeling at his bed. The Burgermaster's asleep on the bed.
Arena, the doctor's coming.
Grota's
Uleg's gonna help.
Yep. Uleg, you come to the bed. What do you do?
I think I do want to detect evil.
Okay.
Wait. No, guys.
Okay. So you detect evil. Nothing is.
He said nothing Arena is afflicted.
Nothing's evil here in the room. Like nothing's radiating like an aura that would be discernible to you.
Okay.
The letter said Arena is afflicted.
Bronda's having a meltdown here.
Right? How can she be like answering the door?
Right. Good question. So I look at the bed. I see the father laying there, the Burgomaster, who I know, right? This is a person whom I would be familiar with.
Yep.
And I say, how long has he been this way?
Arena.
And I'm going to check vitals and things.
Yeah, he's dead. Like, this dude's cold. This dude is a little bit stiff. Like, rigor mortis is set in.
The smell?
He smells fresh. Smells good.
Okay, I do not want to be in this room anymore.
are there any, like, small hand mirrors or anything around?
Mm.
Like, could you do the
yeah,
the
yeah. Again.
You get above his nose and see if he's breathing?
So Hank looks around, and there's a mirror, you know, like a hand mirror that he brings over and tries that. There's no breath. This guy's out.
Is bad.
I ask Arena, is she still inconsolable, like just sobbing uncontrollably?
She's sobbing, but Grota's like comforting hand on her is like the racking sobs that were going through her. She's beginning to slow down, and at this point she just has the sniffles.
Weep not, he's merely returned to the forge. How long has he been this way? When did he depart?
You're supposed to be sick.
She takes a moment and responds, and she said, "He passed yesterday."
When did we receive these letters?
He gave them to me yesterday morning to give to you guys.
That sounds right.
We need to get out of here.
Is there anywhere the... Do we see where the blood on the letters might have come from? Like, is there blood on his lips or a wound?
So are you kind of starting to give him the old once-over, Hank? Or are you starting to, like, sort of, like, look up and down his arms? Like, he's got a long-sleeve shirt on, you know, a button-up shirt, all that kind of stuff.
I don't want to, like, push up past Uleg, because he's, like, right there. But mm-hmm. if I can do that from a couple steps away,
okay. I can see. Well, you see the two red dots on his throat. That's pretty easy to see. I mean, just given like the cold, pale, white pallor of his skin, like that kind of stands out, and you're looking for it. You're kind of morbid.
Do those wounds mean anything to me?
So you're looking around, you see him too.
Yep.
Would the Kalish people have told me about those wounds?
So you guys look at it, and I mean, it screams vampire, right?
Right,
like,
yeah.
What the hell? Like, this is, you're dealing with a bloodsucker here. Both Uleg and Brondo make that connection, as well as Hank. Like, I mean, what else could it be? That's just ridiculous. You guys have all seen the movies. That's what happens.
Nothing else to do in Coldfield but go to the movies.
Go to the movies, watch bad.
Does she feel weird to Grota with his hand on her back?
No.
No.
I'm going to look at Arena's neck.
Okay.
I'm going to do this very much like Anthony Hopkins in the Dracula, the Francis Ford Coppola, mm-hmm. Bram Stoker's, like forcefully. Like, I want to make sure that she does not also have similar wounds.
She does.
She does have them.
She has puncture marks on her neck that are not quite as severe as what you're seeing on the Burgermaster.
Okay.
But they're still there. They're unmistakable.
I'm going to, like, do the thing he does in the movie, like, push her lip up and look at her teeth.
That's invasive.
That's going to take a little bit of doing, but we'll go with it. Like you can do that. And there's, like, you're just paying attention to her facial expressions and trying to get a glimpse of some teeth in there. You're not seeing like any sharp canines.
Okay. I ask, when did this happen? And I gesture to the wound on her neck and to the Burgomaster's neck.
She puts her hands up to her neck and she says, "What is that? Is that a bug bite? When did that come?"
I take the mirror from Hank and hold it up so that she can see.
She looks at it. She says, "Oh, that must have come from a mosquito the night before."
They grow big in the north, but not that big, my dear.
Do we see her reflection in the mirror?
Oh, good question.
You do see her reflection in the mirror, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Can we ask her why he would have written this letter? Does she know?
Are you showing her, like, a copy of your letter?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, showed her.
She looked at mine.
Right, because that's presumably what made her go running into and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, presumably she has mine on her still.
Oh, that's right. So she's got it like crumpled up in her hand, right?
Right. So I'm like, "What? Can you shed some light on this?"
She just says,
"Any light."
She just at that point, like you're pointing out the letter to her. She's like, "I'm fine. Everything is fine."
Okay. Well, something is clearly off here, you guys. So.
Everything was fine yesterday.
Well, it's obviously not now. So something has happened between yesterday and right now that has is not good.
Hank will step in and be like, "No, Brondo, she's fine."
I'll say,
"Okay, all right. If you'd like to stay here, Hank, that's cool too."
I'll say we will transport him to the church. We need to get him from here to the church to dress him for his passage into the next world.
Grota will carry him.
So we need to get him out of here. And that's what I say to Arena, is that we will take your father to the church. We'll make the preparations to send him to the next life.
Okay.
I have some spare firewood.
There's wood there. It's we'll not sweat those details. Okay. We just need to get him out of here.
Okay.
And we need to watch her at the same time.
Well, you two seem to be concerned about the Burgomaster. I can stay here and watch Arena.
I also think that is bad news.
I think that's a bad idea, too.
What are you going to do about that, Brondo?
Arena comes, too.
Brondo could stay.
No, Brondo's not going to stay. Brondo needs to get a few things to make Brondo feel safe.
Can Grota ask Arena if she wants Hank to stay? She's, like, he's invited all these people into her house.
She's repulsed. She says, no. She's prepared to go and send her father on his way.
Well, can I maybe ask her if she would like to go with us to take her father to the church, and then after that, come to the Kalish camp so that our wizened person can look at her and examine the wound and shed any light that she may have.
She's agreeable to that.
She's agreeable to that?
Yep. She said,
since it's obviously not a mosquito bite, it's something else, and your father has the same wounds, so we just need someone else to look at it. And that's...
She says, if you run along, I'll catch up with you.
I don't believe you.
Okay.
I would like you to come with us.
Okay.
All of us together.
Okay.
Is that,
she's saying that. Cool? Okay.
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 So that's a deal?
She's just standing there.
That's a deal? You'll come with us?
Okay.
Okay. Grota, do you want to pick up Burgomaster and we will take him out of here? And Arena and Hank will all come with us and we'll all go together?
So
this
Hank
is a good idea.
So Grota is dumb, but he has some wisdom. Can he, like... Mm-hmm. He hangs around these people all the time. Can he detect that anything is odd about Arena's behavior?
She's just, like, she's scattered. She does, she's not herself, but you gather. I mean, she lost her father. Like, her father's dead, and presumably she's been here with his corpse since you saw him and her yesterday.
Does he know if this is her room or his room?
This is his room.
This is his room.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Like, that kind of makes sense that she would be a little bit disheveled.
She's verklempt.
Yeah, yeah. She is not acting like herself. Like, Arena is generally a strong-willed woman who is...
she's ready to inherit the Burgomaster's fortune.
Yeah, lead the town. Like, in a good way.
Right.
As compared to her dad, who's a little bit of a privileged Nancy boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He's convinced by that, so I'll carry the Burgomaster.
Okay.
Sack of potato style.
So sure. Like, are you wrapping him up or anything?
Uleg, what are the rights here?
We must wrap him up.
Okay.
It would be disgraceful for others to see him in this state.
So I take the sheets and wrap him up.
There you go.
And we must go a circuitous route. We can't go through town. Like, we've got to go...
Because of spirits?
No, we just don't want to attract undue attention to this. We want to take him to the church, I guess, is the best. Mm-hmm. The best. And then we want to, so we're there, and that's straight down through. So, yes, we just want to go along the eastern road.
Yep, so where you guys are is on the southwest portion of town, and basically you just need to go a couple hundred yards down the road past the Kalish camp to the forge. It's right there, you know.
So we can go to the forge and then come back to camp.
We're going to the forge. We're taking his body. We're going to tell Donovich what happened.
Okay.
Everything. Gesture to my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, we're going to go collect our things that make us feel better.
Okay.
Not just the vodka, but our equipment.
Understood.
And then, yes. Yeah.
All right.
I think that's a good plan.
Okay. So.
Grota agrees.
Grota goes first.
Grota goes first.
I'll be.
Yeah, so we'll wrap him up in the bed sheets, right? Yeah. Just use the bed sheets, wrap him up.
Right.
Just right around, not mummy style or anything. Just roll him up in the sheets.
Is he a big guy?
He's a little bit tubby.
Yeah.
He's been soft living, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a couch.
Yeah, he got to eat chicken, yeah. Probably.
Fried duck legs and, like, deep-fried turnips.
Deep-fried turnips?
Yeah. You remember this time that you were at a county fair and you got to have deep-fried turnips.
And horseradish sauce.
Oh, yeah. Spicy. Oh.
Hank, ready? Right.
So you guys are able to head down the road. You kind of hear a little bit of activity at the Kalish camp as you're passing it by, and you end up at the forge of Donovich and the forge for Peyrun and Svarog. Donovich quickly comes out of the entranceway to the forge. He was like, you know, putting the first logs on the fire to sort of keep it going through the day, and he says, "What happened?"
Burgomaster has died.
Oh, Nate brings you guys in. Yeah. So the way the forge is set up, the way that I kind of envision it, and you guys feel free to kind of fluff it up here. But basically, it's like a Stonehenge stones that sort of make a small room. With a not a lid, but like a roof.
So like
but
a Neolithic stone.
Yeah, it's Neolithic kind of, stonework, but it's still the size of a person. It's not huge, but that in and of itself is kind of a testament. Like, it gives you this feeling of grandeur, and you could almost feel as if you were like feeding logs into the fire, a great old one, like a god, just huge in size, that would be able to like be stoking this fire with like full trees. Like it's
cyclopean.
It's cyclopean in its intent. Like it's of appropriate size to a person, but it's made to give the impression of like something much larger. Does that make sense? We're
feeding the bowels of the earth.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. So like think about like the way a bonsai tree looks. Like a bonsai tree is basically like a full grown tree in miniature. Mm-hmm. That's the way this forge looks.
Yeah.
And that's the intent here. And so there's some relatively large rocks that would easily serve as like a table where you could set the deceased burgomaster on and converse.
I show Donovich the wounds.
Mm-hmm.
On the burgomaster's neck. Where is Arena relative to the table? So I'm at the head of the table with Donovich, and we're pulling the sheets away. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that we do this in such a way that Arena is not like...
She's right next to Grota. I mean, Grota is the only one that she truly trusts, and she would be there next to him and her dead dad.
Okay, I'm gonna gently push Grota back.
I'm gonna hug her. Again.
Okay. You're giving her...
I'm sorry that my boss is dead and your dad is dead.
And then my back and Donovich's back and whoever else is near the table with us is blocking her view.
He looks and his eyes get big and he looks at you and he says, "Vampire.
Dampier. Nosferatu."
You guys... So everybody here, like nobody here within Coldfield has ever... encountered a vampire, but you all know like the mythology of a vampire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it clicks all of a sudden, like the Reaving King Strahd, this immortal king himself, he could be a vampire. Like, a vampire lives forever, they're immortal, right?
Yeah.
Like there's that connection that perhaps this is the victim of a vampire.
Did I see this?
Well, I mean, you're consoling Arena, right?
You're over there with Arena.
Okay.
Yeah. So cover him back up and nod.
Mm.
And then I point at my neck, right? And gesture back with my eyes to Arena to convey that the same wound that killed her father has been inflicted upon her.
Donovich gets it. He doesn't need any more like Pig Latin or anything. Spelling it out.
He's Ishe Ot Gay It Bay Ute. Wink, wink.
He's got it. He understands. Quickly, he goes over and begins to he pulls out a set of tongs and a poker, and he's heating the forge.
And so maybe the best thing to do here, maybe we send one person out to get our stuff.
Mm. Okay.
Or two of us. Let's split the party. That seems like a good idea since there's vampires.
Sure. Sure. And roving undead.
Yeah. So half of us go get the equipment. That'll take, you know, half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Hank, did you bring all your adventuring stuff or do we have to run back to your house?
I don't have any of it, but I mean, I've got my, I need to go get at least my spell book. So,
okay.
Okay. So Hank needs to go home. I mean, let's spell this out. So Brondo, you're right next to the Kalish encampment.
Right.
So you're basically home right now.
Right.
Grota, where are your materials?
I have my club with me at all times because of my job. But the fire axe and everything, that's back in my room at the stable that I still have.
Okay, so you've got to go to the stable. And then Uleg, where is your materials?
In a work bag, essentially, like a leather travel bag, like a rucksack. Okay. in the forge. Lowercase forge. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so I'm looking here at the map and it seems like you guys can get to all of these places basically just like running up and down the main north road. So the question remains, who's staying, who's going, what's going down?
I'll stay first.
Okay.
Well, I was gonna see if I could, in going to get my things, mm-hmm. since we're right next or we're near the camp,
uh-huh.
if I can go and like sort of forewarn them
uh-huh.
about what's happened.
Okay.
And or at least the
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe you could touch base with the Mystic Lady.
Right, that's yeah, at least tell her, you know, specifically what's happened.
Okay. So you could do that. So are you going by yourself or
yeah,
okay.
I'll go by myself.
So you're leaving,
or Hank? Are you going alone to get your stuff?
I can run up there, and then do you want to meet and pick up?
We'll get Grota's stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like you do your thing. I'll go north of town, and then we can meet at I guess Grota's stable because that might be in the middle, and then we'll pop off to Uleg's at the same after that.
Sounds good.
And I'll stay here and help Donovich prepare the burgomaster.
Yep, he's basically stoking the fire, adding more wood. It's clear like there's going to need to be more wood, like with the surplus that he's adding here. He's getting a hot fire that would be useful for cremating.
Yeah.
Somebody.
So I'll gather as much firewood. Yep.
Yep. Okay. So Uleg, Grota, you guys are staying close. Brondo is running over to the Kalish encampment. Hank's running back to his hovel on the north end of town. Is that right?
Yeah, will we know, or will Grota have told us where his axe is? Like, does he want us to grab that too, or should we leave that for him to get later?
It's hiding between the layers of my bed.
So you sleep on it?
I do.
That's awesome.
we'll try to find it.
Why you've had a little bit of a crick in your back.
He's young. He's 20. He doesn't have cricks yet.
All right. So, So we're splitting the party up, and that's what's going to happen.
Perfect.
So just generally speaking, Hank, you're able to get up to your hovel, get what you need, come back, stop at Uleg's house, his abode, his room at the mercantile, get what the man needs. Did I misspeak, Grota? Like we're talking about getting your materials.
Yeah.
In terms of what Brondo encounters, So the Kalish encampment, there's perpetually people that are hanging around.
Yeah.
Like the Kalish folk themselves work hard, but they also are inclined to just socialize. So there's a lot of people at any one time mm-hmm. around the encampment, and these are the classic like Conestoga wagons type setups. They're just like perpetually parked right on the edge of town at this point in time.
It's an RV park.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And so those people are there. You probably like sleep underneath one of those wagons. You've got a little spot that's kind of your digs. So you're able to get there. The key here, guys, is to make sure, just like metagaming, like you get what you need because we're about to just go into the adventure, right?
Yeah.
So the idea here is everything that's on your character sheet reflects like what's on your person.
I think all of the stuff. Yeah. I think all the stuff would be there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big bag.
Yeah. Yeah. grab large duffel bag. Yeah.
So, Brondo, in your case, who are you talking to?
Well, I guess I see if there's someone who I recognize in the Kalish camp that sort of has a standing in the community, if there's anybody there that I recognize as someone who I can just say, hey, I need to speak with.
Madam Eva.
Yeah.
No, you can easily like find two or three guys that are standing around outside of her.
Yeah.
Outside of her wagon, and they're just basically post up, just like hanging out, like smoking like Homeworld cigarettes, and just they're putting on airs of being like tough guys. These guys are the muscle for Madam Eva.
So I'm like, hey, I need to speak with her.
Okay. One guy says, gesturing with his cigarette. He's like, what'll it cost you?
Look, I've got two jars of potato hooch.
Their eyes perk up.
Left over.
The vodka on the other side of the winter, the things that are remaining in the spring months.
Right.
It's like, at this point, you're on the dredges here. So that is a commodity.
So I've got two that I can offer in order to speak with her.
Yep.
They just let me in.
They know the time between planting, potato harvest, distillation. It's a ways. So they understand what's being laid down. They say, you know, you come back, you get the treatment.
Right. So I will.
They seem very French.
they do seem French.
So I'll run and get the two jars of hooch I have left that were in my inventory.
Okay.
And
I like it.
Yep.
You got an inventory.
And
you can mark that off your encumbrance.
Yep. So that's no longer there. And I'm like, hey guys, these are yours if you just let me in and let me talk to her for a minute.
Yeah. So they say, would you like to speak to her now?
Yes.
Okay. So they sort of like stand aside. The wagon itself, again, classic sort of hoop shaped, sway backed sort of Conestoga wagon, with the white canvas sort of pulled tight over the frame. There's some white material like drapery that's in the front, so you're gonna have to push into that.
Yeah, but nothing looks off about it, right?
It looks like a spooky
I've seen this before. I've seen this. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you push your way into the fortune teller's wagon.
Yeah. Madam Eva, I've seen some stuff tonight that I should probably tell you about.
So what you see here is an old, saggy woman who's like wearing traditional Kalish garb with like dead, like milky white glaucoma eyes.
Yeah.
And she says, I await you and your company.
So do you have any idea of what I'm about to tell you?
Come to me with your company, she says.
With my company?
Yes.
It's just me right now. So is that okay?
she says, I await.
You await what?
I can't do this. She says,
stick with it. I like it. This is doing good.
She says, I await the fraternity of all of the adventurers.
Oh, man. I honestly do not have time to go back and get them. I need to tell you about what I've seen this evening.
The fates have spoken.
Oh, that's great.
You're out of hooch, too.
Yeah.
I can't
bribe her with hooch. You shouldn't have told him you had two.
I know.
Come again.
Such an idiot. All right. Well, can I tell the dudes, the guards, like, guys, look, she told me to leave. Can I come back? She wants to see me and everybody else that saved Arena. She, for whatever reason, I needed to tell her some information, and she's sending me out of here to go get these other guys.
She nods in agreement, yes.
Okay. So I walk out, and I'm like, I have to tell these two guys, hey, I need to come back with my crew.
They're like huddled off to the side. They're like, sniffing the mason jars that you gave them.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're drunk.
Okay.
They might be when you get back.
All right. Well, I'll have to tell them I will be back. I must return with my fellow adventurers.
Bring two more jars. They motion with their right. their
right. I would like leave. To right. Yeah, I would like to think what I've given them buys me a little bit of leeway. What
yeah, you potatoes gave, to get intimate with?
Right, right. And I know these guys. I know these guys. Yeah. Right. So I guess I go to my. You know, well, I guess when I went to my spot to get the pooch,
yeah, it's like,
I got,
it's like three I got, wet. Yeah, yeah, you got your stuff.
I got my duffel bag that's got my axe mm-hmm. and all my gear in it. So I grab mm-hmm. that, and then I'm popping off to Grota's to meet Hank.
Roger that. Okay.
It's Patrice and.
So
I'm gonna say Jeff and Chris. So, they must be relatives of Hank.
So Hank, in your procurement of your materials, is there anything worth noting? Like you're able to grab what you need. And then head back south.
Yeah, I mean, it's all... Most of it would have been in a knapsack ready to go.
Uh-huh.
He's done enough traveling that he's got a go bag, so...
Right.
Yeah, and nothing too crazy on my inventory, so... No, he's good to go.
All right. So, Prepper Hank gets his go bag. He's ready to rock and roll.
Half-face Hank.
Half-face Hank.
Hank's getting all kinds of nicknames this session.
He is.
Prepper Hank.
Incel Hank.
Yeah, so Hank heads south, and Uleg is stoking the fire. Grota is there with Arena, is that right?
Yep.
And who gets Grota's stuff, recall? Like, I can't recall.
I was supposed to meet okay. Hank at Grota's
okay.
stable.
So you guys are able to do that.
Yeah.
Like, Grota's gear is there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the axe... The handle is a little bit sticking out yeah. outside of the edge of the twin bed, which is kind of astounding that like it would fit a man of Grota's stature. Like it's like a
it's a twin bed.
It's a big man in a twin bed.
Yes. Sure, sure.
He sleeps sure. in
arms the, and
he,
legs are hanging off.
He sleeps right. in the fetal position only. He jumps and gets in a fetal position and lands in the bed. It breaks a little more each night.
Yeah, there's a little bit creaks and cracks.
His Grota Bear is there.
So you're able to get Grota Bear, Grota Axe, Grota Bag, all of that stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And all right. then you're meeting back at the forge. Uleg, what are we going to do with that your stuff?
When they get back, I'll go get it.
All right. So from what I recall, and I don't have this on the map, but I think that I think the smithy is out towards the river.
Yeah.
So you might have like the longest distance to go, but that's fine. Like you're able to stick with the main road and head out. So my question to you is, you know, you're recognizable about town, and you're moving down this thoroughfare. You're going to be crossing paths with people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
Are you interacting? Like, what's the story there?
Telling them good day, asking about their children, asking about, you know, small talk, really. Like, the types of things you would say in a small town to another person.
Okay. So you're able to do that. As you get to the Ford / the Smithy, you pass by Marwina's townhouse, and there you... Like, as you're moving by that house, you start to hear, like, the sobbing of... You know this woman. Like, Marwina is her name. But, like, her sobs are floating through the still sort of, like foggy air and coloring your thoughts with sadness. It's pretty horrific to hear this mother's crying as you're, like, passing towards... The forge.
I'm going to continue on to the smithy.
Okay.
To gather my things.
Okay.
I'm going to don my armor, which uh-huh. will take a few minutes.
Yep.
Then I'm going to get my warhammer.
Uh-huh.
Put that into my belt loop.
Yep.
I've got my traveling medical bag that has loops and pouches for glass bottles with potions.
Mm-hmm.
And sling that over my shoulder.
Gotcha.
Yep. And then I'm going to head back that way, and I will stop at that house.
Okay. So this house, it's about, I don't know, like 40 feet square. It's a small cottage that's basically just, I guess, what would approximate like one block further away from the river versus where your smithy is.
Okay.
So
it takes some time.
Yeah, like, you know, after a couple minutes, and it's basically on your road. You just basically hear a mother like crying and bawling her eyes out inside of that cottage.
Is the door to this cottage, is it an actual wooden door? Or it is. It?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if it would be skins or...
Nope,
okay.
It is.
I'll knock on the door.
Okay. She's just screaming and like wailing away.
I'll slowly open the door and announce myself. It's Oleg.
So this is like a one-room cottage.
Here. Yeah.
Like what you're seeing here is much smaller than like the Burgermaster's abode. This is the typical house of a Coldfield resident here. Mm-hmm. And so basically you've got the kitchen to the left, the kitchen area, right?
Right.
The common area to the right. And then ahead, sort of in the darkness, you have like the standard like bedroom space. And you see a woman who's like wearing... a sackcloth dress, like kneeling in a bed with her hands up like this, and she's just sobbing relentlessly.
I ask her what vexes her.
She's still sobbing, and it's in the darkness of the back end of the cottage.
Oh my. I will go back out of the cabin and on back to the forge.
Okay. So you back out of that cabin, you continue to hear the wails of Marwina sort of echoing. The fog's weird, man. Like the sound just sort of gets captured within that material that's in the air, and it sort of just bounces and reverberates. So the whole way on the rest of your trek back, you can almost hear the cries and the sobs of that woman like echoing in your ears, haunting you. As you continue along back towards the forge.
This troubles my heart.
It does.
I must steel it against these troubles. I envision the forge and the hammer pounding the steel into form and giving it function.
Right on. So you approach, and at this point, Donovich is cleaning his hands, and he says, At this point, I think the furnace is hot enough to take the body to the next level.
I ask Irina, I say, would you like to say a few words?
With a She's Bible. The Book of Eld.
I'm too dumb to know that.
I don't know. What do you guys think the Holy Book would be called here in the Borderlands? The Book of Three? That's a little bit of an homage. I like it. I like the Book of Three.
Mm-hmm.
Donovich, he has the tidy tome in his hands. He said, "Perhaps one of you would like to read a passage from the Book of Three."
I am not a religious man, so it will not be me.
Grota should do it.
I'll read.
Okay. All right, Grota. So you take the Book of Three. So the Book of Three would be the holy book that's basically exalting the cosmology of the Borderlands.
Uh-huh.
And really, we, again, just to revisit this, we have Savarog as the father, and then you have Velos and Perun as the two sons.
Mm-hmm.
And so Savarog birthed the entirety of the cosmos, and his sons are the dominion of men.
Right.
So what do you think would be an appropriate sort of passage for somebody passing over sort of into the next life?
I'm going to be honest, Grota looks to see if there are any pictures to help him read.
It's not. It's a lot of symbols.
He's going to look at Uleg
and
sort of be like, "Hey, can you help me with this?"
I'll take the book.
Okay.
I'll flip it a few pages, and I'll say, "Though the hammer falls, and the sound is terrible, the sparks do light up the night. As everything, the sparks fade, and so too has the Burgomaster faded. Now we must commend him back to his base materials, back to the materials he was made from. Though it saddens us, we are strengthened by the hammer falls on the forge." And I look around expectantly.
Donovich is he's nodding fervently, and he's given the assertion. He's saying, you know, the equivalent of like amen, amen, amen. And so with that, we have both Brondo and Grota. Like, basically, you guys have the body on some mechanism that you'll be able to get him into the forge pretty easily. Like, that's been fashioned like a wooden, like, sliding
Like a sledge kind
like
of thing?
That's exactly right, like a sledge, yeah. So you're able to slide him in at the end of that, and the fiery embers quickly do their work.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask, does this meet the Burgermaster's final wishes? Or do we don't care?
Well, you don't know. I envision this being kind of we're in the north where the ground is frozen a good part of the year, right?
This is vampire disposal.
But this is also vampire disposal, okay. Yes.
The letter...
And Irina has not put up a fight to any of this.
This is the standard...
So this is what we
procedure.
Do.
Like, you burn up your dead, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And then later there might be some sort of a...
Ceremony,
yeah.
Okay.
Like...
Side note, you guys are doing a good job playing this out on the basis of like a previous like funeral pyre.
Yeah, this is we've seen this before.
You've done this before.
Yeah,
right. Like this is the mythos of the Borderlands, right? This is what you do with your dead,
right?
And so yeah, this yeah. So I take Grota's hand in mine. I give it a squeeze.
Yep.
I'm not a religious dude, but I do respect the giving the body back. You know, incinerating it and returning it back to where its atoms came from.
Yep. Back to the forge.
Back to the forge.
The source code.
Mm-hmm.
The source.
Back to the source.
Back
yeah.
to the source.
Okay. So, you're not disturbed. This is all happening like midday. It's, you know, if this was like 5 years ago, there would be passage on the southern end of the road here. People coming in and out of town. Doing their business.
So we've been able to do this here. Quietly.
Relatively right? speaking. Yeah. I mean, to burn up a body is going to take a little bit of time,
yeah.
But there's nobody around, and it's foggy outside.
Okay.
So yeah, you're good. It seems like this is something that's happening under the cover of the fog and just the situation.
Okay.
Yep.
What does Irina say as the body burns?
She's silent.
Who's in charge of the town now?
Irina's in charge. She just doesn't know it yet.
And I do need to say, we have to go see Madam Eva. She wants to see all of us, though.
That's
I tried to talk to her about what we saw tonight, and she refused me.
I think that's fair. We'll do just one quick stop.
Okay.
And then we'll go there.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I tell Irina by?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you going to do with Irina?
I want to say, I'm really sorry about your dad. He was a great guy. He took care of me during all these tough times. I hope that his spirit gets to heaven.
She's sobbing and she says, I hope that as well. I will return to our home and begin to get his effects in order.
Can I come see you later?
She nods and she says that would be good.
Okay.
I say as the hammers fall upon the anvil, sparks fly and are bright in the night and then fade out. I can only hope that my spark is as bright as your father's was.
She's choking on tears at this point and she shuffles on down the road.
Yeah. I clasp her hands and then And then I say to the guys, okay, we have some, as I see it, three things on our to-do list.
Okay. What are those things?
One, I passed by a house of a woman whose name I've forgotten and didn't write it down.
Marwina.
We must check on her. Something is wrong. Two, we have to go to the Kalish encampment. Brondo, can you let us in on more of that bullet point?
Yes. I went to see Madam Eva to tell her about what we saw, and she refused to tell me anything unless you guys were present.
Got it. So that's our second stop. And thirdly, this will take some time, so later in the day, let's go check on Irina and maybe even offer to stay with her through the night.
Yeah, and you can fix more of the fence.
Yeah, I'll fix the fence.
Okay.
That sounds good.
I knew that was a bet.
This sounds like a good stopping point for tonight.
Okay.
I think we hit all our high marks. Good job. Go team.
Yeah. All right. We've got a plan for next time.
Yeah. I think you guys are good.
We're in it. Yeah. We're in Ravenloft.
You're in the module.
Hooray team.
Hooray.
Hooray. make it.